Would you pray with me? Lord Jesus, we thank you that you are great and you are good. Teach us now from your word. Teach us to walk firm and to stand fast in the truth of the good news of the gospel. In Jesus' name, amen. Last week, as Jean-Marie was speaking, he took us to a number of analogies in the scripture of comparing the Christian life to an athletic contest. He talked about running and boxing and things like that. Now, when you think of an athletic competition, what do you not think about? I bet you lose. No, I think they... I won't say it. What you don't think about is their footwear. And depending on the sport you're playing and the kind of turf you're playing on, you wear different kinds of shoes. If you're playing on grass, you wear one kind of shoe if you're playing football. If you're playing on artificial turf, you wear something else. Track runners, they wear half a dozen spikes sharp at the front of the shoe and the lightest shoe they can find. Golfers, on the other hand, will wear, you know, ordinary shoes, but they got a whole bunch of spikes all over the bottom of them. Baseball players will wear one kind of shoe if they're out in the outfield, another if they're on the infield, another if they're batting, one if they're fielding. Broomball players, when I was playing broomball, we wore shoes that had really soft, flexible soles and almost like suction cups on the bottom. And think about it, there are even sports where half of all the competitors wear shoes made entirely of metal. Alan's got it. Horse racing, or in any equestrian sport, all the horses wear metal shoes. The idea is to give the athlete the greatest stability, the greatest traction that they can have, so that they can run and not fall, be stable. Roman soldiers wore heavy sandals called caligae. And if you look on the front picture, the front of your bulletin, Stephanie's got a good picture of them there. If you look at the bottom, they're covered with metal studs. And they were made with a layer of leather to which the studs were attached, another layer on top of that to protect the foot, and then a heavy leather insole. And these allowed the soldiers to march all day without wearying their feet. It allowed them to work. And it allowed them in battle to stand fast and not have to worry about slipping and falling and endangering themselves and their comrades. They weren't necessarily stylish, but they were extremely practical and functional. Paul tells us in Ephesians that we are to put on the whole armor of God, which included having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And when Paul wrote this, he was in prison, and he had Roman soldiers guarding him. So he had the example right there to look at. And he saw their shoes and how practical they were for the work they did. So, what is this gospel of peace? Paul describes it a little bit earlier on in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 11 to 22. He says, "Therefore remember that at one time, you Gentiles in the flesh, called the uncircumcision, by what is called the circumcision, which is made in the flesh by hands, remember that you were at that time separated from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ, you who were once far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made us both one and has broken down in his flesh the dividing wall of hostility by abolishing the law of commandments expressed in ordinances, that he might create in himself one new man in place of the two, so making peace, and might reconcile us both to God in one body through the cross, thereby killing the hostility. And he came and preached peace to you who were far off, and peace to those who were near. For through him we both have access in one spirit to the Father. So then, you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole structure, being joined together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord. In him, you also are being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit. Now, there are three aspects of this gospel of peace that I'd like to explore with you. Paul tells us first, we are to stand in the peace of the gospel. Our peace is first of all with God. We are to stand firm in our faith, knowing that our salvation comes from God. He says, but now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. We stand firm because our faith is in Christ, not in our own works. If our peace with God depended on what we did, we could never be sure of having done enough or having been good enough. But it does not depend on us. It depends entirely on Christ. We have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For by grace you have been saved, through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, so that no one can boast. Therefore, Paul says in Romans, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So, when the evil one comes to you and says, how can you call yourself a Christian when you do the things you do? Don't try and defend yourself by telling him about the good things you do as well. Don't let him wear you down and discourage you, but rather tell him, I'm not perfect, but I am forgiven through the blood of Christ. Whatever I may be, I am God's child. And in this truth, we can stand firm. Feet shod with the gospel of peace do not slip. We have the assurance of God's promise that whoever believes on the Lord Jesus Christ shall be saved, forgiven, made right with God. Stand firm in the gospel of peace. And then Paul tells us we are to spread the gospel of peace, bring others into the same peace with God that we enjoy. Paul says in Romans chapter 5, starting at verse 8, God commends his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. All of humanity, every one of us, since Adam and Eve, have been born into this world as enemies of God. It's our nature. It's the nature we inherited from our great, 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 great ancestors. We found peace with God through Christ. What about the rest? In Romans 10, Paul says, but how can they call on him they have not believed in? And how can they believe without hearing about him? And how can they hear without a preacher? And how can they preach unless they're sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who announce the gospel of good things. Paul's quoting the prophet Isaiah. How beautiful on the mountain are the feet of the herald who proclaims peace, who brings news of good things, who proclaims salvation, who says to Zion, your God reigns. We are called to be heralds. Paul says in Corinthians, we are to be ambassadors of God, declaring his message. He says to Timothy, Paul does, proclaim the message. Persist in it, whether convenient or not. Rebuke, correct, and encourage with great patience and teaching. Peter puts it this way, but even if you should suffer for righteousness, you are blessed. Do not fear what they fear or be disturbed, but honor Christ as Lord in your hearts. Always be ready to give a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you. However, do this with gentleness and respect, keeping your conscience clear, so that when you are accused, those who denounce your Christian life will be put to shame. Be ready to declare the good news. Somebody asks you a question, do the best you can to prepare yourself to have an answer. And when you don't have an answer, pray and God will give you wisdom. And maybe you'll say, I don't know, but I'll find out and I'll get back to you. That's okay. But do what you can to be prepared to give an answer. Isaiah says, how beautiful are the feet of those heralds who bring good news. But who are the ones who are sent? The Lord Jesus makes it very clear. You go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them into the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the earth. We are all called to be ambassadors, to be heralds. Stand in the gospel of peace. Spread the gospel of peace. Live in the gospel of peace, especially with members of the body of Christ. Paul says to the Galatians, as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. We have a special responsibility to the family. But we are to do good to all men. Paul says, when he writes to the Romans, he said, let love be genuine. Abhor what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with brotherly love. And outdo one another in showing affection and showing honor. Not a bad plan. And Paul said, as we read earlier, at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope without God in the world. But now in Christ, you who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who has made us both one and has broken down the middle wall of partition between us. We were aliens. We were alienated from God and each other. But now in Christ, we have been brought close together. All the things that the world tells us should divide us mean nothing. We can be as different as we are here. In color, in language, in where we came from, in our origins. And have you noticed? It doesn't matter. We are a family. And that's as it should be. We live together as one body, as one family of God. And that's good. But Paul doesn't limit that just to believers. He says, honor everyone. Sorry, Peter says, honor everyone. Love the brotherhood. Fear God. Honor the king. I won't ask for a show of hands, because that could cause some problems. But how many of you like Justin Trudeau? That's why I'm not asking you to put your hands up. But he is our elected leader. And he is deserving of honor, at least, and to be respected. Driving around in a vehicle with a sticker that says F. Trudeau is not appropriate for a Christian to do. We are to honor all. Paul says in Romans, do not repay anyone evil for evil. Try to do what is honorable in everyone's eyes. If possible on your part, live at peace with everyone. Friends, do not avenge yourselves. Instead, leave room for his wrath. For it is written, vengeance belongs to me. I will repay, says the Lord. But if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him something to drink. For in so doing, you will be heaping fiery coals on his head. Do not be conquered by evil, but conquer evil with good. The Lord Jesus makes an extreme case about those with whom he expects us to live in peace. But I say unto you, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. And pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. That's not hard, is it? Yeah, it is. But Christ calls us to follow him. He who said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. And he calls us to do the same. As much as we can, to live in peace with all people. So, shoes for the battle. Stand in the peace of the gospel. Spread the gospel. Live at peace in the gospel. When Alan opened the Breaking of Bread service this morning, he read to us this verse from Philippians chapter 4, verse 1. Therefore, my beloved brothers, whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, stand firm in the Lord. Put on the shoes. They're made to help you stand firm. Stand firm in the gospel of peace. Amen.